It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law.
See terms and conditions 18 plus. Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better listen in public, might make your stomach hurt. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to unwind, you better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to get your snack, you better hurry right back though. It's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants. Hello, hello, and welcome to the Purple Pants Podcast, Survivor News Edition, episode 124, Game versus Reality. I am your humble and oh so gracious host, Bryce Isaiah. Thank you guys so much for tuning in to this week's Survivor News. If you have not already, please make sure you subscribe to the Purple Pants Podcast. We're available on Apple Podcasts, wherever it is that you get your podcasts from. We are there. And if you got a YouTube and you're listening, make sure you head over to my YouTube page, Bryce Isaiah. Hit subscribe and give the video a thumbs up. You can watch your baby boys break it down, okay? And I am very thankful and grateful. I hope that everyone had a wonderful holiday. You got the eat, spend time with your family. More importantly, you didn't have to go to work. So I hope that you guys are ready. Cause listen, it was a lot to discuss in this week's episode, and the baby boys, we was talking. So I ain't even gonna hold you guys up. I want to get right into the menu this week. I'm so excited to have Jack Atkins from Netflix, The Circle season 2, and the baby boy Wendeezy from HGTV from Survivor Ghost Island. We are here to discuss all things episode 10. Before we get into all of that, I just want to make sure that you guys know December 15th, Bryce and Wynn presents. The finale is going down, okay? We're in Hoboken, New Jersey. The tickets are available. And listen, let me just say, some of the guests that are confirming is epic. So you don't want to miss it. So make sure you click the link in my bio or Wendell's bio and get your ticket, and we'll see you at the finale. But listen, enough of me talking. I'm wetting my whistle. I'm still at Barb's house. Okay. John is out walking sunshine. Let's get into this menu. Had to wet the whistle first.
It's a man who, it's a man you. Me and potatoes like we cooking up a great stew. It's a man who, it's a man you. Me and potatoes like we cooking up a great stew.
And we are back this week with the Survivor News with your favorite baby boys. If you are listening, that means you are listening on the Purple Pants Podcast, our Survivor News special episode, or you could be blessed enough to see your baby boys loud, live, and in color on my YouTube page, Bryce Isaiah. Let me formally welcome back to the podcast the baby boy, the Jack, that is the Atkins. What it do?
What it do, Bryce? I feel like Wendell this week, podcasting out of the hotel room, but I'm stoked to be here. It was an amazing episode, and I hope you guys both had an awesome Thanksgiving. Ready to get into it.
Thank you, Jack. I think one of the things I'm thankful for is our renewed friendship. And, you know, being here with one of my best friends. And let me also welcome back to the podcast the one, the only, the Wind to the DZ. Okay, you might know him from the HGTV Beach Cabana Royale. Yeah, yeah, Beach Cabana Royale. Yeah, yeah, or hot.
mess. It's a hot mess house. It's a hot mess. Hot mess house. Or you might know him from The Jury from season 40 Winners at War. Welcome to the podcast, Win DZ.
Thank you. Thank you, Bryce. Isaiah, quick question for you. We're going to do a rapid fire round. What jury were you on?
Oh, I was on the jury that was Ponderosa that had the cocktails popping is with the jury that I was on.
Ooh,
fair enough. You wearing the whistle right now, Bryce?
I'm wetting the whistle. It's Thanksgiving. I'm at Bar House.
Give the people the rundown. Give the people the rundown. What are you drinking?
I am actually drinking a Tito's. And then my mom likes, what are these? Like Smirnoff Ice. So I got a little Smirnoff Ice with a little pineapple juice in it and a lime. Ooh. And then when I was just minding my business, John came over with some tequila and put a little shot of tequila in it. So,
baby boy.
Okay.
Looking like a crazy episode.
Oh, I mean, well, listen, is it game versus loyalty? I feel like it's what it's given. But before we get into all of that, just want to know how you guys' Thanksgiving went.
Mine went very well, man. Mine was good. Yeah. Got to hang solid. With the fam. Yeah. What you got, Jack? What you got?
Yeah. So, sorry to cut in. I was all right, man. Last year, because of COVID, I just stayed on campus and ate cheeseburgers with my friend for Thanksgiving. That was a little dry. So this year I was able to spend it in West Virginia with my grandparents and my dad. So always good being around family. Yeah, no complaints.
You was with Grandpa and Meemaw?
Yeah, Pop, Meemaw, hey. You know, the whole vibe.
When DZ, what you look like? It looked like you ate a lot for Thanksgiving, you know?
Bro, that's because I got the hair tucked. That's all, man. Still a snack.
I didn't even get to the gym today, which I wanted to do. But you know,
me neither.
Yeah, Thanksgiving was good though. I got to see my fam and everything, and some family came to town, so it was very good.
That's good. Well, listen, I'm glad everyone had a happy Thanksgiving. I hope anyone that's listening, I hope that you guys had a Thanksgiving. We are thankful for your committed support to us. And we just want to give a shout out to the people on YouTube. We read the comments. We see them. Jack, hit them with the sexy voice, because somebody in the comments said Jack had a sexy voice. But my thing is, how he got a sexy voice if we on YouTube? Okay, I guess the face don't match the voice. But I'm just putting two together.
I'm going on mute for the rest of the episode.
But again, if you are listening on YouTube, make sure you hit that subscribe button and give this video some thumbs up. But listen, baby boys, it's a lot to get through on this episode. My emotions were all over the place. And this episode, I feel like, is appropriately entitled Game versus Loyalty. I'm glad that I'm here with you guys. Winner Wendell, as a formal winner, I feel like you can answer a lot of my like burning questions. And Jack, you as the strategist that has never played yet, you know a lot of the insights. And listen, if you're watching on YouTube, Wendell just put his pen down, so that means we got notes.
It's getting serious.
And listen, take it away, Wendy's.
My pen is still in hand. We don't have any notes.
No.
We have one little hat.
That's a lie. That's a lie. Show the notes. I know you got to.
The notes are actually on my computer right here. So.
Okay.
But what an episode, guys. What an episode. I was getting old school vibes. We have a lot of politics, and we have interpersonal relationships. We have a blind side. We have no idols played. A lot going on. We have a lot of Survivor being played in this episode. And it was a deep episode, too. We were able to see, like, the camp out and them kind of imploding and whatnot. So I guess let's get right into it, right?
Let's go.
All right, let's do it. So we get back to camp after the previous night's tribal council. And that's when Ricard tells everyone kind of their play and how they voted Nasir out. He said, I suggested to Shan to use her extra vote, and she used her extra vote. Voted one for Nasir, one for Heather, and they broke it down to them. We get an Erica confessional saying that people are kind of afraid to vote out Shan because of her power and her connections. And you get Shan and Deshaun on the beach, and she says that she wants to get one of the idols out. Oh, I'm sorry. No, Erica and Deshaun on the beach saying that they want to get one of the idols out, preferably Shan's idol.
Mm. My take on like just the little synopsis that you got, like we've been saying before on this podcast, Ricard is a strategic mastermind. However, it has been Shan the one to kind of sort of like, I don't want to say execute the moves. And so what I find interesting about that conversation of Ricard coming back to the camp and really kind of going off was that, in my opinion, I feel like he's building a case for the jury. Like, this is what I said to do. But inadvertently, it's really throwing Shan under the bus because it, but is it inadvertently or is it him just trying to be like, let me make sure y'all know what I'm doing? But it like hearing Erica, when I saw Erica's confession, and shout out to Erica because we know I love Erica, but hearing her say that, I was just like, but me as the viewer, it's not really Shan so much as like Ricard.
Yeah. And he gets back and he's saying there, play to everyone. He is trying to show people that he's doing things in this game. And again, it puts him on the radar, but it also puts both of them like you're going to see these players now at the forefront.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What do you think, Jack?
Yeah, there's a lot going on, obviously. And we see this throughout the rest of the episode. You know, Shan and Ricard have that one of the maybe the craziest duos that we've seen in recent Survivor history, aside from maybe Wendell and Dominic, or Bryce and Morgan.
Okay. Okay. Where's the bell?
But yeah, this is kind of like I wouldn't even say a prelude because it's been going on for so long, that relationship. But I do think, you know, Ricard, I do think first and foremost, it was smart of him to be upfront about what plan went down because it's going to get leaked out somehow. So you might as well be honest with it. But yeah, he's definitely trying to get his props for the move because up to this point, he's been kind of looked at as Shan's right-hand man. Like you said, Bryce, Shan's been pushing the needle, I guess you would say, a lot of the time. So I don't know if he was throwing her under the bus per se, but he was definitely trying to get his props, which I respect. I mean, it was a great move by Ricard. And in that last episode, he did play a big role in getting Shan to kind of go the direction that he wanted. So it was props to Ricard.
Yeah. Definitely. I also think, just real quick, since Wendell, you have your notes down, I want you to keep a tally of the name of this episode is Game versus Loyalty. And I feel like throughout this episode, there's maybe about five people that game versus loyalty is tested. And I just want us to kind of like document that and talk about it as you narrate through us, through your non-sexy voice. That's what the YouTube people
say. Well, damn. Okay. Then we get a Shan. Let me work on my voice.
Not the sorry Wendell.
Then we get a Shan confession.
Oh, no.
She's worried about a potential blindside from Deshaun and Erica because she saw them walking away, which you should be worried about.
Absolutely. And what I think is interesting is that, you know, when you're in Survivor, the one thing that I have learned from the 11 days, and I'm going to say it every time this episode is that go with your instinct. I didn't go with my instinct and I went home. And I'm just saying that I felt like Shan was like, are they plotting a blindside from me? Like, trust your instinct. Don't trust what nobody else says to you. And I think that was just so interesting for her to be like spot on. But I'm sure the editors probably was like, let's find that clip where she said that so we can edit it into the episode to make sure it tells a great story. But I also think it's so interesting is that conversation that Shan and Deshaun had after that when she was talking to him, like, what y'all go and talk about? And I feel like that's one of the first questions that we have of the game versus loyalty is Shan versus Deshaun, because you can kind of more describe what happens more eloquently.
Bryce, can you explain to us what you mean when you say game versus loyalty?
So what I mean game versus loyalty is like, are you putting $1 million, the game of Survivor, to be a shark, to be like to be vindictive, or are you going to go with your loyalty, your relationships that you have made, like a coach, the Dragon Slayer, and go to the end? So that's what I mean by like game versus loyalty. And I feel like it's a pivotal moment when we see Shan and Deshaun talking about like, you know, everything that has transpired.
Yeah. And like you said, Bryce, this is the episode that really tests it. This game is for $1 million, and I don't know how many millionaires are out there and people want this money. People are playing for $1 million. But when they filmed this show in 2020, in light of all that had gone on in the country with the George Floyd movement and everything, they're definitely in tune with that and they understand that. And so you have this the Black Alliance wanting to stick together and show solidarity to the country. So when a show is, you know, dangling $1 million in front of you, now you're really questioning, all right, am I going to play my game or am I going to do something deeper and stick with my loyalty? So I'm glad you broke it down a little bit, Bryce.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. You got anything to say, Jay?
I mean, yeah, I just think that storyline that we see, get kicked off with Deshaun, where he's crying in this confessional talking about, you know, do I stick to my people and do it for the culture, or do I play my own game and win $1 million? Now, I can't speak on it as well as you guys can from my perspective as a white man, but I just thought it was a really interesting dynamic. I thought that, you know, I think Deshaun kind of hit the nail on the head, and we see this as the episode progresses, where you can play your own game and rep the culture. You know what I mean? Like, that was my take on it. If you show that support and show that love for your fellow black people, but also, you know, realize that this is a game I got to play to win. I thought that was an extremely respectable way to go about it. But it is certainly, being in that position would be super complex, and I could see why it took an emotional toll on Deshaun and the other players.
If I may, real quick, to set it up, Bryce, this is like the morning after Shannon and Deshaun have this conversation. Shannon's like, what were you guys saying? He lies to her. Then in the middle of their conversation, we get cutaways to this emotional sort of dilemma that Deshaun has. He's in the confessional, and I have some of his verbiage right here. He said, the people before us fought so hard. Mm. That was one thing that he said. And I think he understands the magnitude and what so many people did to make sure that the landscape of this season looks like this, and the season's going forward. So he acknowledged those before him. Bryce?
Yeah, no, I love that. And I feel like I'm getting emotional again, like when I was watching Deshaun talk about it, but continue.
Man, we fought for these people. Everybody in Survivor wants to get that call back. And we don't know what the future holds, but a lot of us said, you know what? There's a bigger purpose. We're going to band together. We're going straight to CBS with a list of demands. And it was great to see that they were actually receptive to us and changed things. And it's great that CBS kind of acknowledged this in the edit and allowed Deshaun to say, hey, people fought for us to be here. We didn't fight for people to acknowledge us. We fought for Deshaun's and Shan's and Danny's and Ricard's and
JD's,
JD's and Evie's. And like, we fought for this, you know, beautiful cast of diverse people. And it was cool to hear him say that. But even more, he says, 2020 was such a hard year. We don't get opportunities like this. This is the first opportunity we've gotten like this where we can all work together this late in the game. This is the opportunity you've always wanted, and someone you're so close with is in the way, is in your way. So he recognizes that he's close. He has this bond with Shan, but he understands the level at which she's playing her game and that she is in the way of his $1 million, game versus loyalty.
Yeah. For me, and again, this kind of takes it a little away from Survivor and just me personally, because when I watched the show, I put myself in the predicament of it. And I just think of, like, you know, like intersectionality and, like, you know, yes, you might be a person of color, but there are so many other things that make us a person of color and so many other things that make us who we are. And so it is just interesting, like, hear Deshaun say, like, you know, I got student loans. Shan was like, I was homeless. And so it just, for me, just like, I understand the magnitude. And it's like, yes, you want to do it for the culture, and yes, you want to, like, but at the end of the day, this is Survivor. And, you know, I also feel like playing your own game, in a way, is doing it for the culture as well. Like, you're a black man out here, and it's like, you're representing. I also feel like Shan, she's a black woman, and we haven't seen many powerful black women edits in Survivor. Yes, we've had very strong women players that we all love, but how many times can we say that we've seen, and with this episode 10, that a black woman has narrated the whole season? So it just gets me emotional, in the sense of, for me, it's not just Survivor at this point. For me, it's just like, it's a whole nother level, of different things, but just, it is like a very pivotal point where we see them come together and say, we're going to work together despite our gains. Now, okay, I got a question, but I'm going to save it for later in the pod.
Okay. Anything on that confessional, Jack?
I mean, I thought you guys articulated it super well. I think the magnitude must just be another level for you guys too, considering you were some of the people at the forefront of that fight to increase the diversity. I mean, this part of this cast, and this is no discredit to them, you know, might not have been there if it wasn't for you and the other people that fought to get that representation. So first of all, I just want to applaud you guys. Like, that's a huge accomplishment. But yeah, I thought as someone who's met Deshaun a few times, I have the utmost respect for him. Like I've been saying this whole season, he's my front runner to win. I think he's a great person, a great guy. And I talked to him a little bit about after the episode about that confessional, everything. Like, I just thought it's such a unique and important moment in Survivor that really kind of defined the episode. Like you said, game versus loyalty. And Bryce, just to reiterate what you said, I think repping the culture and playing the game can go hand in hand. And that was super fun to watch unfold this whole episode and made the season a lot spicier too.
So let's put a pin in that, because I do have questions about in this particular game, in this show, in this episode, repping the culture and playing your game and potential ramifications down the line as far as, I'll ask it right now.
Go ahead.
He broke up. I mean, first of all, we can point back and forth, and I don't want this to be a attack Deshaun or attack Shannon podcast, because they both had 1,000 considerations in their decisions. But might this have been the move that prevents a black winner from winning this season? Could this be the start of the complete collapse of the camp out?
I mean, I think it could. Well, first of all, like you said, I just want to like reiterate that this is a podcast of love. We might go back and forth and say what we say, but we're watching it as game players. We love all the players. And so it is not a slight to anyone. But yeah, that is interesting. I also think it's very interesting of Deshaun to say, you know, for me, like, I don't know, it's a little triggering for me in the sense, and this has nothing to do with Deshaun. I love Deshaun. I want to see him go far. But I also think that it is like very interesting that like Deshaun is the player that, like, you know, we get this emotional edit from him and I'm crying. Like, I'm like, yes. But, you know, this is the same person that then, you know, votes out a black sister. And for me, it's like, I also think of like intersectionality, me being like a black gay man. And I know it's very similar at times for like a black woman, like we're othered. And it's just interesting that, like, you know, Deshaun is this black man, which is, you know, this overarching sense of different things. And clearly he's unhappy because things aren't going his way. They're going Shan's way. But if it's for the culture, why we not going, like, why is not going Shan's way? Like, and I get it. Don't get me, like, you know, I'm just playing devil's advocate, but I get it. But, and sometimes I feel like I relate a little bit more to Shannon in the sense of, like, there are times that I want to speak up for the culture. And, like, you know, I want to get my unique perspective. And I am told to just be quiet. This is for the culture. And, you know, so, like, there is a sense of me that just feels like a little, and I don't know how else to describe it, but that raises a very interesting question, Wendell.
Yeah. So, I mean, only time will tell. We got what, 3 more weeks left. So we'll see how this goes. But now with the camp out being fractured, it is really up in the air. So let's continue through this episode. But yeah, this game is wide open now. Shan was
bust wide open.
Shan was my winner pick, and I was shocked to see her go home. And again, we'll get to that, but yeah, this game is wide open. So anyway, we have that emotional time from between Deshaun and Shan, and then we have his emotional confessional, and now we get to a reward challenge. And the reward is the Survivor Sanctuary, where you'll get pizza under the stars and sleep in a shelter with blankets and pillows.
Oh yeah.
You taking Survivor?
Have y'all had that Survivor pizza before? Just curious. I feel like it has a reputation, right?
Who talks about it? I think Brett LaBelle talks about it. I had a slice of pizza one time and it was delicious.
No, it sounds like a good reward. It's funny that Jeff was like, this is the best reward of the season. Like, imagine losing that challenge too. You're like, all right, it only goes downhill from here, I guess. So don't. Yeah, what did you think of that reward challenge?
Well, it was better than stew.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think it would be cool to get away and sleep with pillows and blankets under a shelter, get some food in your belly. Yeah. I would love that. I would love it.
Yeah.
Take a little vacation.
Oh.
The challenges. First and foremost, what did you think of like the challenge itself? I thought it was solid. I thought the puzzle was pretty cool.
I just knew here's the thing. I knew I could get through the obstacle course easy because I'm agile and flexible. Anybody that's listening. But I don't know if it's like my dyslexia or like I would have got to that puzzle and been like, huh?
It was a hard puzzle.
That puzzle looked difficult.
And shout out to Ricard for winning. And again, for me, we talk about fighting for like anyway, to see somebody of the LGBTQ plus community like dominating challenges. Again, I'll scream it from the top of my lungs and I'll say it every episode for that like young queer person at home to see somebody like a Ricard winning the challenges. Like, yes, you can play too. Like, we can be kings. We can be immunity challenge. We can be reward challenge beasts. And I think it's so good for the LGBTQ plus community to have people like Ricard playing and for us to like literally see him like kill the game.
Mm-hmm.
He did his thing out there. I love a challenge like that that has to do with going through the water, digging through something, doing obstacles and ends with a challenge. I love that.
Now, can I also say, I was cussing at the screen at Jeff. First of all, Jeff, what you not gonna do is highlight Zaddy Zan getting tangled up and listen, you don't need to do that.
Sorry.
Okay. Why? Zaddy Zan was listen, he was a little okay. Look, he looked congested from the beef stew. I appreciate Zaddy Zan. I mean, Jeff. Pointing, like I felt like, but also another thing, did y'all peep how crisp Jeff's Adidas were this episode?
No, I didn't.
I was like, mind you, maybe it's because I was watching it in Wendell House and he got the 1,000 screen TV in his basement, but like Jeff's Adidas was like
extra crisp.
They was bling blinging.
Go
ahead.
He shows up behind the scenes from that challenge where he's rocking a Nike bucket hat.
Oh. The bucket hat was giant, right?
It was clean. I'll say it was clean, but he's switched up the brands here.
Oh,
he's Nike one day, Adidas the next. He warms up in the Nike.
Now warms up in the Nikes.
Before we know, he's gonna be in the white New Balances.
Oh no, not the. What if he has some Yeezys?
Oh. Jack, what do you warm up in?
I warm up in the for my Survivor challengers. I just warm up at home in my sweatpants and in my best makeup.
Oh, come on, Emily.
I want to ask this real quick. I don't really know if there's a good answer, but you know, as we were watching Ricard start to pick who he wants to come on reward with him, there's eight people left in the game, and Jeff always does this thing where it's like, all right, Ricard, pick one person to come with you on reward. All right, pick another person. All right, Ricard, one more person. And I just want to throw this out there. When it gets down to like 8, 9 people, 7 people, do you think we've reached the point where it's kind of mandatory that about half the group goes on reward? Because if I'm Ricard and I go, say I only get to bring 2 people, now the 3 of us are kind of isolated, we're on reward, all the other 5 go back to camp, I feel like that's a disadvantage. So do you think they're kind of reaching that mindset where, okay, we're going to try to distribute the reward more evenly?
Yeah.
To that same question, I don't like it when Jeff asks the person that won. I like it if, say, I won and I'm like, Jack. And then Jeff turns to Jack and Jack is like, Jack, you bring somebody. I like it that way. But I also think it's just so interesting because it's a very strategic move. And if I'm Ricard, despite Shan being my closest ally, I'm bringing somebody I've never talked to before.
When was the last reward challenge you won?
It was like one in Calgary.
First of all, both y'all, this whole thing could be done.
But both of y'all.
Yes. No, because you're egging it on. I won a reward challenge in my life.
In South Africa.
No. In kindergarten, I was the best dressed turkey.
Okay.
The best dressed turkey.
Yes. You don't
sell yourself short. I mean, Bryce, you know I'm not talking. I just sat in my room on the circle. I didn't win shit.
Dang. Damn.
Fifth place though.
Don't do that. Don't.
Is that the highest average place in the podcast?
Listen.
No, I'm playing.
Don't do that. Okay, now Wendell, add to the list game versus loyalty. Jack, Bryce, and Wendell.
Yes. Damn. Yes, Bryce. Yes. We're back.
I will say what I was gonna say. Also, now I want to hear you guys' thoughts. If I'm in this position where it's an individual reward where you're going to be picking the people yourself, I feel like I'm throwing it a lot of the time. Is there merit to just all, cause so that you don't have to pick and show your cards?
Like, what do you mean? Like
so Ricard around?
He said he'd throw the, yeah, Jack is saying he'd throw the challenge.
And hope someone picks me so that there's no blood on my hands.
I mean, it
depends probably, right? I don't know.
I can't do it.
Like with the family visit, for example, that's the thing. It's probably hard to do because if my dad runs out or my mom runs out, I'm going to be like,
Christine,
my meemaw, my pop pop. I'm going to be like, all right, like I should throw this. I don't want to give away my cards, but I got to see my meemaw. So maybe it is hard in the heat of the moment probably to throw it, but it is also like it is kind of a disadvantage to have to pick all these people and then. You know, you kind of show people where you stand.
Well, that's my whole thing is that I would pick nobody that I'm close to. I would pick Heather will come. I would pick Danny. I would pick Erica. And I would pick Liana if I'm Ricard.
All right. But you don't think Shan's gonna be like.
I mean, but then you tell her I didn't want, I want to distance ourselves.
I think I did that. I think I think in Ghost Island, I used to. Now, if I'm not mistaken, I think I didn't pick my allies and I picked Angela and Sebastian for like a steak dinner or something.
And I think you're right.
And I think Laurel was like upset and said some things about it. And Dom was standing next to her. And I think. When they got back to camp, Dom was like, all right, our boy is taking care of business. I think that's what happened.
But that's also interesting. And I know I might be jumping ahead a little bit, but I love the difference of a Dom and you relationship as it pertains to a Shan and a Ricard.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know if I'm jumping ahead too much. You the narrator. I'm just, you know, this the Wendell podcast. So I'm just sitting back. So tell me where we at in the notes.
This guy.
As he looks to the computer after the notes.
Well, then they go on the reward. Sorry, let me get my Wendell voice on.
Okay, go ahead.
Definitely less sexy than my voice.
Where's the bell?
So on the reward.
That's the Bryce voice.
The cinematography, first and foremost, on that reward was crazy. And then we see a lot of Ricard and Shan discussing right next to Heather and Xander about the state of their kind of relationship.
Can y'all just get closer to your camera while you talk this? Because this is how the cinematography was.
Yeah, it was up in the face.
Yeah.
So Xander didn't get any screen time. Thanks, Jeff.
But when they gave the pizza out, Shan was like, me and you will take this vegetarian pizza. And guess Xander was like, yeah.
All right. Yeah. So they were just discussing their relationship right in front of Heather and Xander. But like you said, as it pertains to kind of Bryce and or not like Wendell and Dom's relationship, obviously Wendell and Dom kind of were much more consistently functional, whereas you know you see Shannon Ricard kind of saying like at some point we got to turn on each other, but they kind of agree like, hey, not yet. And if I was Heather, I would have been like, what are you saying over there?
That's true. Yeah, I think they were in the pizza. They were vibing out over there. We get the Ricard confessional. He basically says we never said we were final two with each other. We get him and Shan and he's telling her people like you more. And she's saying, well, I think a man beats a woman at the end. And he's saying, maybe not this year, maybe not in this game. This year might be different. And they say now is not the time. And
little do we know. But so here's the thing. Let me also elaborate on this. So I love Ricard. And what I love about Ricard is that, like, you know, he is like very much so, I'm playing a game and I'm going to do whatever it is that I have to do. However, and I love that because that's the type of player that I want. Like, you know, mm-hmm. But I think in this instinct, for me, it was just so interesting is that, like, you know, he's basically saying to Shan, like, we said we would get into this fight. And my thing is like, bish, I don't think that that's like a conversation that, like, I think that you should be having to my face. Because, like, for me, Spicy Brycey comes out and Spicy Brycey in my head is like, wait, hold up.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Like,
he was a little too honest.
It's like, Shan and Deshaun do the same thing too, where they're right. Like really honest.
And so I get it, but for me, like, for no. me, and then nope. For me, this is why my ass went home third on Kageyama.
I agree with you though.
Like, oh, right.
you're saying you would get spicy. Like,
I would like, and that, like, I would not be like. For me,
but that's exactly why I think they shouldn't be having that open conversation.
Right. I think that yeah. like he like again, you don't have to say like what is understood does not have to be spoken. And so for me, I just feel like, and again, this is the game of Survivor, which is why I love Ricard. But this Shan vote out was premeditated. And again, like, it's not like I think that, and I don't know, but I think that Shan realized and knew that, like, listen, me and Ricard can't get to the end together, but I'm going to wait until it happens. Like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But like, you know, like, we're going to wait till the numbers turn down. And then it's like, she is literally forced to vote him out. Mom, Ricard. And mind you, maybe this goes back to the, give me the extra vote. No, give me the, like, and again, so then I question if maybe Shan would have given the extra vote at that time, would that have maybe like, I don't know, but for me, this was very premeditated of Ricard. And again, game versus loyalty. He's clearly choosing game. And I feel like prior to this point, and maybe I'm jumping ahead because listen, John put the tequila in my thing. But for me, I feel like over the episodes or over the time, Shan's heart or Shan has like softened a bit. Like, I feel like when we originally saw her, she was like, I'm playing the game. And I think that, like, later in the game, I feel like she feels like, and when I say soften, I mean like I can maybe like rely on the fact that I'm out here with a Jack and I'm out here with a Wendell. And I feel like that might, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, no, still keep heightened sense.
Now, here, I agree with everything you said about Shan. But I think
maybe this is a what, Shan?
This is a Shan what?
This is a Shan Stan podcast. Bryce, just send me a threatening text about that. No, I'm playing. But I agree with everything you said about Shan. I think she is the most loyal in that group. Now, no discredit, but she is kind of at the forefront of that group. So if it makes sense for anybody to be loyal, I think it's her. Now, if you're Ricard, was it early? I don't know. Was this move early? I'm not sure. But if you're Ricard, I think you look at Shan, you say, she has an idol. So if I want to take her out at Final Five or Final Six, I might not be able to. So I got to strike while the iron's hot. Also, I think you say, Shan is the one who's connecting me to the Deshaun, to the Danny, to the Liana. And I think Ricard has a decent relationship with them. So taking out Shan, if they're down for it, blows open the game, as Wendell was saying earlier, to a point where now you could be one of those people's number ones, or you could be the one making the moves with them instead of having to operate through Shan. So I think Ricard kind of saw it as an opportunity to just kind of take the game into his own hands and seize some independence. But obviously, like you said, Ricard's the one who is a little bit more keen to go for Shan. But at the same time, I think based on their positions in the game, I think it makes sense.
No, for sure. I'm going to let Wendell continue because I want to say more as it pertains to Ricard and Shan. But I feel like it is later as we get through.
Yeah. Well, to put a little button on that, Ricard has always known that he ain't going to the end with Shan and he's going to get her. And in this episode, I think we see great timing on his part.
Yeah.
I think we see, I think Tony might be great at this. You snipe your person that you need to snipe before they even think about sniping you.
I ain't mad. And what did I say episode one? If Shan goes home, it's at what?
Ricard's hands.
And what did I say episode five? If Shan go home, because I switched up a little bit. I said if Shan go home, it's at the
Deshaun's.
Deshaun.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody give me a bell.
I almost broke my bell. All right. So, yeah. Ricard with impeccable timing. Mm-hmm. But also, when we're at the sanctuary, we get Shan singing the Shantham.
Now that's for me.
Like, what song is that?
What's
that? It's like, I was just thinking.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Jack, you're Ricard. I'm Shan. Wendell, you're Heather.
No, I'm Shan.
Okay. I'll be Heather.
I was about down to be Heather.
Okay. Now I'll be Ricard. I'll be Ricard.
What are you seeing over there, Shan?
Oh, nothing. I'm just thinking.
No. I got to say something first. Hold on. Then you can go. All right. Take scene four. Go.
Action.
I'm just saying, Shan.
What you saying, Ricard?
We ain't going to the end.
We cool. We cool, yeah, but no time soon. Right?
Let me eat my pizza.
What you singing over there?
Oh, I'm just thinking. Commercial.
And great. I have no allies. Where's Erica?
I have no allies. Damn,
sorry, Jack. I was improvising.
Oh man. Okay. All right. All right. So,
what is happening over at La Zoo?
Yeah. So,
La Zoo.
Okay.
Isn't it like Vianaka or something?
It's Viacom.
Yeah, Viacom. So this was back at camp. Danny, Liana, Deshaun, and Erica are there. Danny and Deshaun go on a walk. Danny says it's time to take out Ricard. We need to tell Liana. They go to Liana. They tell Liana and they say Shan can't be a part of this plan. And Liana says she's good with it. But as a viewer, it kind of looked like you could see on her face that she was like,
A little hesitation,
soured by it, turned off by it.
Let's add to the list: game versus loyalty, Shan versus and Liana.
But then we see Liana eventually goes to Shan, and I don't know if that's getting too far ahead.
Well, right,
yeah, that's the loyalty.
And so I guess another part of the game versus loyalty, I guess I should say in the beginning, is it should be game versus loyalty equals.
Uh-oh, now we're doing math. Now Bryce Isaiah is doing math, ladies and gentlemen.
No, but what I'm saying is that It's game versus loyalty or game.
I always got the props ready.
What I'm saying is we doing long division. It's game over divided by, but not like the regular divided by. It's like the fraction. Game
that's what divided by
over, over loyalty equals $1 million or your ass home. And so like what I'm saying is that like, there are these decisions that you have to make, and does it suit you? And so what I'm saying with this Liana decision, and I love Liana. Liana is like my little sis. And I oftentimes I feel like I empathize with Liana because like, again, if I were playing this game, it would be loyalty. But in this moment when Danny and Deshaun came to her, I was thinking in my mind, like, sis, this is your chance. Like, you don't have to double cross Shan at all. Like, let them vote Ricard out. Don't give her the drop. Like,
yeah, that's a good point. Because at that point, it is just going for Ricard.
It is, like, you know what I mean? Like, don't, I like, but
again, she had to be a part of the plan. She would have had to vote with her.
I mean, a survivor. You don't have to say it.
And go ahead, Jack.
Well, yeah, I was just going to say, like, it is, like you said, it's that question of game and loyalty where
fraction.
Liana at this point, and for a while, I don't feel like it's going to win the game because she is not playing her own game. She's loyal to Shan. And it almost reminds me of when we were talking about Winners at War, where I was hating on Ben a little bit because he was kind of gave up his spot for Sarah or for Denise. And what I generally make of this, if you're Liana or you're Ben, is that if that, like, because we see Liana say, like, at this point, if Shan wins, it's kind of like me winning. You can't fault that from a human perspective, right? Like, if you feel that strong of connection to somebody where you're just as happy if they win $1 million as if you win $1 million, personally, you can't fault that. But from a gameplay standpoint, we can acknowledge that it's bad gameplay. Liana's probably not going to win because she's not going to make a move for her own resume. So I just think it's like, if you're watching it at home, you are going to be like, yeah, that's bad gameplay. At the same time, if you know, this is each person's own personal journey where whatever is going to give them the most fulfilling outcome, you have to respect it, but it doesn't mean it's good gameplay.
Yeah, no. I empathize with Liana because honestly, like, believe it or not, breaking news, I didn't go out to Survivor thinking I was going to win $1 million. I didn't. Like,
fair. You got 1 in 18 shots.
I honestly, tough. Like, you know, did I think I was going to make the merge? Did I think I was going to be making a bacon? Yes. But I empathize with Liana in that sense of, like, I'm a lover. I'm a giver. Like, if I make a bond with somebody, for me, it's like the bond that we create. It lasts, it just completely lasts longer. And I am willing to do that. And so, which is why, although, am I saying as a strategic player, is the move that she made not the best? Absolutely. However, me as a player, I empathize with her. And me as a player out there, I yearned. I yearned out there on the Salona beach for that moment that, you know, Liana and Shan had as two black women empathizing over their mother being black women. Like, we don't see that imagery. Like, you know, we don't, you know, a lot of times on these reality shows is black women against black women. Like, you know, and for Liana to stand up for Shan, for me, that's like, I thought, like, again, I'm taking my player aspect out of it. Like, I rep that and respect that. But at the same time, me drinking and watching it, I'm like, sis, what is you doing? But I get it. Like, I so get it. I honestly, like, I just get it.
The question does come to my mind, though, where if I'm Liana, you could have this deep love for Shan and still take out Ricard, and then Shan is even more attached to you. Now, obviously, that's kind of betraying her in a sense, but I think it does boil down to just like the way you look at the game. Because like you said, Bryce, when you get loyal, when you're loyal to someone, you're loyal. You would do whatever for them. For me, it's like, hey, there's 8 days left in the game. I can feel so strongly about someone, but still be like, all right, like, you have to go. I'll see you in 8 days and we can be friends for life. You know what I'm saying? So it just kind of boils down to how you look at the game.
For me, though, it's not that simple. Sorry to cut you off, Wendell, because it's like, for me, if I'm in that position and you do me wrong, we're done. And I feel
I'm not saying there's a right or a wrong. It's just how everyone looks at it.
But I also just take this back to when we were in South Africa. And do you remember?
That's what I was thinking about, partly.
Man, listen, y'all know Spicy Brizy is real. So we're in South Africa raising money for the Nailady Christian Academy. And there was a point where, guess what? I didn't make the merge. Jack made the merge. Wendell made the merge. Wendell made the merge. And there was a point where we was doing the dart throwing contest. And I just noticed that, like, you know, we're out in South Africa. We out there with the lions, the tigers, we sleeping under the stars. And at this point for me, it's like redemption. Like, I'm not like, you know, like, I want to show these people that I can play. And, you know, like I said before, people get Wendell ties. Like, they meet Wendell and they're just like, oh my God, what can I do? Let me smell your underarms. I love you. And for me, that pisses me off. Like, in the sense of, like, we here to play. And so Wendell was like calling the shots. And clearly.
Oh, this was pre-merge though, right?
No, this is Jack. This is when, like, we went to you and you were the referee.
This was pre-merge when it was, we were doing the dart bowling contest. This was the last challenge before the merge. Our tribe threw the challenge to get out.
Right. No, say that again. No. Don't say that. Yeah. Our tribe threw the challenge. Who threw the challenge?
Like Wendell and his squad.
Thank you.
Because it was pre-merge, because it was tribe versus tribe. Okay. This is the last, and then we lost, and then Wendell got idled out. They were Wendell ties.
And here was my thing. Like, I knew that Wendell was like throwing the challenge. And again, like I just said, like, for me, what are you doing? This put, like, you know, and mind you, like, obviously Wendell knew me enough to know that, like, I don't have to pay Bryce no mind. But I was over it. And Jack was literally like,
I mean, if like you want me to like go talk to Wendell, like I will, but like, you know, like I talked to Wendell Bryce and he said, like, you know,
like I'm like, no, F Wendell. Yeah. So I just, even for charity, I just say that, like,
yeah,
again, I'm always going to choose loyalty. And again, maybe that's why I'm a third boot.
But also, you're also saying you got to compete, is what you're saying too.
Right. You have to compete. Yeah. Also, let me just give Wendell a chance to rebuttal to this, because I'm still a little spicy about it.
I don't remember.
Oh, okay.
So
this was, this was after Winners at War, right?
Yeah.
Or was it before?
After.
It might have been after, but before it aired.
Yeah.
When I was still feeling good.
Oh.
Yeah.
And the Wendell tizing was real.
Yeah.
And then it aired.
Anyways,
we had this group at the sanctuary doing their thing, talking with one another. We had this group back at camp plotting against Ricard and sharing that info with each other. Then finally, everyone gets back to the island, and Liana then goes and tells Shan. And Shan says she doesn't, you know, again, she doesn't trust Deshaun. They begin crying together. Liana tells her that they spoke of a final three with Liana, Deshaun, and Danny. Mm-hmm. And the whole time Shan's like, oh, so they're thinking about blindsiding me? And Liana's like, no, they want Ricard out tonight. And
so let me ask you this question. Is that Shan's ego in that sense?
Saying they want me?
No, they're going to blind. So again, for me, somebody that has never made the merge, I'm thinking if you go on a blind side, why is that funny, Jay?
Because you mentioned it a lot. someone who's also never made the merge.
Okay. Or top four in the circle.
Well, yeah,
but no,
but you're not wrong.
No, let's hear this question. I think I know where you're going.
But what I'm saying though is, like, they're going to blindside you, but blindside you by not voting you out.
No, I think Shan was originally assuming that they're going to blindside her.
So I think that Liana told them the plan.
Introduced it as if it might be going for Shan and then like clarify it. But I still think if you're Shan, it's like, oh, you want to blindside my closest ally? Like,
right.
You're blindsiding me, not directly, but like strategically.
Well, you're right. You're absolutely right. If someone blindsides your right hand, then that's a blindside to you. That happened with us and Morgan on Ghost Island. But originally Liana said they were talking about a final three with me, Danny, and Deshaun.
Oh.
And that's why
So yes. But here's the thing though, like also where I feel like my little sis with love, Liana, messed up is that, girl, if you know you close with Shan, go with, like, again, go with them with Ricard, and like you still have this undercover, like, You could play double agent.
That's a great point, because she made the same mistake at the merge where she gets too committed to one side and then throws all her cards out the window. Like, have this information, knowledge is power, sit there, let the challenge unfold too, right? Because you never know how the challenge is going to shake out. For example, Ricard wins. Mm. Now you might be able to do something else with that information and to put the target on someone else. But instead, she goes straight to Shan and you know, puts all her cards on the table, and then she loses all the power, and she kind of inevitably loses Danny and Deshaun's loyalty, because even though they get mad at Shan for telling Ricard that they were gonna blindside him, you know, indirectly Shan only found out because of Liana. So Danny and Deshaun know Liana is not like fully on their side.
True.
What's the question? Who's Liana's number one?
I mean, it's Shan.
Okay, so for you and if you guys want to explore this relationship that we don't know, this relationship of two black women on Survivor, making it pretty past the merge together, after they went on they went to the summit on that island together, they bonded and they cried together and they shared these things together, and she is for certain her number one. I think it would be a little, I don't know. I can completely understand Liana saying, yo, they're trying to get your dog out of here.
No, right. I'm just saying that's where I wish Liana, instead of like, and again, I say this with love and respectfully, like, but I know what it's like to be a little brother to a big brother. And like, you don't ever really want to like take the steering wheel, but I wish Liana would have went to Shan with a plan instead of just like allowing Shan to, like, because like you telling Shan this, I'm going to go crazy. So I wish Liana would have went to her and be like, this is what they're doing, but listen, this is what we're going to do. And that might've been able to kind of like, you know what I'm saying? Like, but again, like she's in little sis mode. And so it's just like, I want to tell you the information and like, let's like follow suit. And again, I empathize with Liana because like, that's exactly what I would have done.
Well, that's just like we were saying earlier too, where Liana's personal, like strong relationship with Shan is totally understandable. So the way that she kind of the way she kind of follows Shan and is extremely like unquestionably loyal to Shan, it's understandable because they have such a strong bond. But from a gameplay perspective, I think what Bryce and I are saying is that this isn't the best move for her to just give Shan the information and call it a day. She could keep this information and use it, you know, however she wants. She could also be loyal to Shan for the most part, but maybe on the side she plays along with Danny and Deshaun's plan until she thinks of what she wants to do. So I mean, she's obviously kind of unwaveringly loyal to Shan, which given their relationship as two strong black women that they've had throughout this whole game since the summit, it makes sense why she's doing that. But if she wants to win $1 million, then for like at the bottom line, I don't think Shan should even be her number one, because you're not going to beat Shan. You have to make some other moves.
But at that point, it's not even about that. It's about us getting to the end together. And that's what we want to do. But again, my question to you, Wendell, is, it's from what we know, it's not the camp out still remains intact.
If they go for Ricard.
Right. We as viewers, that's the only thing that we see. So do you feel like if you were in Shan's position and I'm Liana and I'm telling you this tea, and like, what would be your plan of action? Because like, honestly, it's like, I do feel like, and again, guess what, Jed? I ain't make the merge or anything. But what I am saying is that what I do know in life is that it's give and take. And although like you might like it, like things might not go 1,000% the way that you want them to go, but also, you live to see another D.
Yeah,
remember the not. 3 Ds.
You live to what, Bryce? Say that again. Actually, don't say it again. If I'm Shan, see, we've gotten to know, or whatever this edit is of Shan. And if she gets certain information, you know where her head is going to go. And she is a leader. She wants to lead. She wants to tell people the plan. She's that kind of a person. And so if you're Liana giving her something, I don't see Shan pulling a Ricard later in the episode and saying, oh, I need to process this.
But also devil's advocate and no shade to Shan. But like, can you lead without like being able to listen? And that's what I'm saying. And again, and this is coming from somebody that doesn't normally lead, that normally like, and it also in the same breath, I think that we at times minimize the strength, tenacity, and power of somebody that says, you know what? I'm going to let somebody lead and support. I think that we like, we forget about like all of the things that like people like that, like what, like we're really the pillars of everything. Like you can't lead unless you got people that's going to like follow you and support you. And I also think that that is a skill that I don't think gets highlighted enough.
Just and I think it's necessary in the game of Survivor too, to be able to take that back seat sometimes.
100%, Jack. 100%. In Shan's case, she had to play Survivor from jump on this, in this game. True. She got out there playing the trenches.
That's a good point.
And she had to play on level 10 through the merge. And she doesn't
dial that back. Yeah.
She doesn't have that I can sit back mode, I don't think. But man, oh man, it is very important to hand over the keys sometimes so you're not that visible person calling all the shots. It's so important.
Also, another question to you guys. Earlier in the game or earlier in the season, we said that Shan and Ricard, because they have had to go to tribal so many times, that they were going to be more equipped.
Mm.
But now, are we seeing that like maybe it's like sometimes like you do have to like let the Tesla drive the car?
Well, yeah, I think they are. So it's a balance, right? So Ricard and Shan had such a great pre-merge. I'm gonna make an analogy. It's like Ricard and Shan dominated their tribe on the pre-merge. So they've, like you said, they're equipped. They got this tool belt, and they're equipped with, you know, they got a chainsaw over here. They got the crossbow over here. They got all these useful items to their disposal, but they have more weapons than anybody because they've had this whole pre-merge where they're playing the game at 100. But you can't show up to the merge and pull out all your weapons and be like, all right, let's keep playing. Sometimes you got to take out the bow and olive arrow branch. And sometimes you got to take out the olive branch,
the bow and arrow.
That out there, take out the bow and arrow. Say Tiffany, pew. Take her out, and then sometimes you just got to tuck them all away and just hide your tool belt, and then no one's going to know like that. But I think Shan got into the habit of, all right, like what am I using next? Like, what's the next move? And like I said, the last couple of weeks, it got her in trouble.
Right. Can I also just highlight something that, again, when I was at Wendell House eating pizza, and shout out to the charcuterie board.
Charcuterie. Sorry, I love charcuterie.
Wendell May. Now, mind you, I don't like to give Wendell his props, Wendell was like, hey, come over for Survivor on Wednesday. I was like, well, I'm supposed to go to my mom's house. He's like, let's just come over before you go. So I go over and, you know, we up in Wendell's house. Shout out to Angie. Shout out to Dad. And, you know, when Wendell's hype about something, Jack, he's like, you know, he doesn't like to show it, but he's like, you know, so we're all upstairs.
He's buzzing a little bit.
Like, right. Yeah. So we're all upstairs, right? We're all having a good time. And he's like, hey guys, it's food downstairs. Nobody be like, yeah, right. Cause he knows. Cause like, right. So we all just chilling. And he's like, and so he says that. He's like, hey, I ordered 100 wings. And so we're like, okay. And then so like, again, we're upstairs in Wendell's new kitchen enjoying it. And then he's just like, hey, like, guys, why don't we just go downstairs? Like, it's like, okay, let's. And then this one he says to me, he's like, hey, Bryce, you want to make a drink? No, okay, bitch, that's going to get me. Okay.
Yeah. I was going to say, if I was at this party, I would have ran down, ate all the wings, poured some drinks up. But I got you when we're in New York, Wendell. I got you.
It's just also just to see how, like, not, like, and again, like, me thinking about the story, like, how, like, literally, like, he was like,
"Hey guys, go downstairs. It's food." And we're like, "Okay." It's wings. I ordered 100 buffalo. They're still hot. And we're just like, "Okay." But then he hit the nail on the head. He was like, "Hey Bryce, you want to make a drink? Bitch, let's go." Anyway, I don't even know what the point of the story was that I was about to say, because now
my charcuterie board.
But why was I saying the charcuterie board?
Because you were trying to make fun of me that I had to, that I sneakily put that board down there and y'all had to, you know what I'm saying?
No, but there was something to me. But anyway,
is it something about Shan's game, like Shan's gameplay?
I don't know.
Charcuterie board, charcuterie Shan.
He did make a bomb charcuterie board, just want to say that. It had dragon fruit, papaya, and pears. Now, mind you, I'm downstairs, not papaya,
keep,
pears.
Keep Ricardo away from that.
Also, another little random story to random story. So, mind you, I'm just got my pizza, I got my wings, and I got my drink. We all just chilling. Wendell's like, "Hey, Bryce, did you try the pear?"
Yeah. I spent $2 a pear.
Okay,
like, they're from like Japan.
Now, mind you, the pear was good, but like, "Bitch, let me eat my hot," like, hot wings and pears don't go good. Oh, this is what I wanted to say. Sorry, I was just telling y'all. Okay, I got why. Sorry, it's the shot from John. Sorry. So what I was saying was that I was watching the game at Wendell's home, and there's a thousand screen. The game versus loyalty. The
show.
The show.
Yeah, what game were you watching? The Sixers.
So anyway,
what
I was saying was, after I went down, had a drink, had a food, had a pear. One thing that I don't know if I would have noticed while I was at home, but before even Shan went home, for me, what I thought was interesting was like Danny. And I just, there was like a lot of content. So I feel like if Shan is the actual, like, if we're saying Shannon Ricard and Ricard makes all the power plays, this episode for me was interesting in the sense that like everything Danny said seemed to be everything that Deshaun executed. And there was a point in time that really stood out for me when Erica, when there was dissension and they were like, who should we vote for? Who should we talk to? And Danny just said, "You right, but I don't want to get into that. But I'm with you." And for me, that was like, oh.
That made you feel some type of way, right?
That, like, no, that, because for me, if that were you coming to me like, "Bryce, I heard you and Jack ain't around," I'd be like, "Yes, because Jack, that's on Jack, that." But like for Danny to like have the whereabouts to not disparage anybody, like I just said, oh.
Yeah.
I actually wanted to chime in at some point this episode and give Danny a lot of props, because I think he's quietly playing a really, really good game. Maybe too quietly, but he's the last person in the game right now with no votes against him. His name has never been brought up. He's an athlete. Yeah, he's an athletic threat, like a comp threat. Maybe not in this day and age where the challenges are kind of like, oh, you got to balance on so-and-so, but no one's ever been like, oh, Danny's such a threat. I think he's intentionally kind of underplayed it. I think maybe the one issue is that like he's seen as Deshaun's right-hand man. I think he's very loyal to Deshaun, but that duo has really kind of been doing everything kind of harmoniously, albeit maybe Danny's a little quieter, and that's why Deshaun's getting some of the credit. But I really do think for a while I was like, okay, Danny's kind of just there, but he's sharp. Like, he's always kind of in the know.
And he carries weight, like in the sense of like what he says sort of goes. And also I say to that, like, he is definitely the Ricard to the Shan. And we see how the Ricard to the Shan went. And again, even when Erica was saying that to him, like, "What happened? I heard, what's the tea? Spill the tea." And he was like, "I ain't even trying to get in that." For me, it's like, you jewelry managing. You're not even like, you know, say Erica goes to the jewelry. She can't even like, I don't know. That was just really profound for me, that I was just like, wow, that is like very interesting. And even when Danny, when the other people were having pizza and Danny and Deshaun went to the beach, it was Danny that was like, "Ricard got to go." Mm-hmm. I was just like, wow. But again, I feel like Deshaun is the more animated, more like, you know,
outgoing.
And so I that for me was like very interesting.
They're a really solid duo, though. Like, I think
for sure.
Deserves props. Deshaun deserves a lot of props, and they have never, those two have never wavered on each other, and they've been really crushing it from the start.
But they, have they had an opportunity to, though?
I mean, you always have an opportunity.
I mean, but like, not really, though.
They're
like,
winning a lot early.
Yeah.
And then, but, and then they linked up with the camp out.
The camp out.
We've always talked about, like, you know, Deshaun and Shan turning on each other, Ricard and Shan turning on each other, you know, weeks ago. Do you guys actually think Danny and Deshaun might turn on each other? I don't think so.
I see them going to the end together. If I see them wanting to go to the end together.
Exactly. Exactly. They're firing all cylinders.
What do you say, Bryce? You can see them turning on each other?
After this display of Deshaun, absolutely. Deshaun is playing an individual game. And at this point, if Danny were not to be in line with him, if Danny were to, like, absolutely, I would see Deshaun pulling the trigger.
Question. So, would you see Deshaun pulling the trigger on Danny, or would you see Danny pulling the trigger on Deshaun?
So here's the thing. Honestly, as a viewer, I have not seen enough of Danny yet. However, the things that I have seen of him are quiet, make
loyal,
moves, loyal, and your word carries weight. So, as fast as he switched from Ricard to Shan, to like then saying Xander, like, you know, he's very aware. So I would not put it past him. And at this point, since Shan is gone, is the camp out still the camp out?
Probably but he and Deshaun have just operated in such like unison so far.
I
could see Deshaun turning on him if he felt like he needed to, but I think Deshaun probably beats Danny, and I don't think Danny cares that much.
Wait a minute. As a matter of fact, we could explore that, because if Danny and Deshaun are sitting at the end and with somebody, let's say they're the ones that people are thinking about, right? And you have a Shan on the jury who despises Deshaun.
Does she, you think?
She got up and said, "Deshaun, you're a snake."
Oh.
So all right. Well, let's speed up. Let's get through some things.
Well, also, my last question before we speed up is, though, like, who between Danny, if we're on the beach together, who between Danny or Deshaun right now is the bigger kingpin?
Deshaun.
Right.
I think. Yeah. But I don't think that's why I don't think Danny turns on Deshaun, because Danny's super loyal.
But Deshaun
might not be as loyal, but he doesn't need to turn on Danny, in my opinion. But we can talk about what Wendell was getting into.
We can talk about what Wendell would say, but what if Zaddy Zan wins the next immunity and come to Deshaun with Erica and Heather
saying, let's get out.
Like, what?
Yeah, Danny's chilling.
Danny's chilling.
But
I think it would be the opposite almost. They go for Deshaun.
I don't think so.
I think.
That's what I'm saying. Like, they go to Danny and saying, like, Deshaun's it. What can Danny do? Danny could just want, like.
Then at that point, he's just kind of like joining a lost cause, like something.
But
that
is it still a lost cause? Because he still has a relationship with Xander. He still has a relationship with Liana. Like, I feel like at this point, like I said, the camp out is done.
But you're saying if those people came to him and said, let's get out Deshaun, we're all voting Deshaun, Danny has no choice. And
right.
If Danny does have a choice, but if he has no choice, I don't think that's stabbing Deshaun in the back. And if he does have a choice, I don't think he does it. I don't know. Should we get into this now? Or should we?
I think we're getting a little ahead of ourselves because we have the immunity challenge. We could get through that really quick. Ricard wins the immunity challenge.
Shout out to Ricard again.
Saves his life.
Xander almost won.
And Ricard is now what? How many challenges has he won?
Three.
Whew.
Two in the same episode.
And I didn't do my research enough, but I don't know if there's ever been an LGBTQ+ member that has ever won three individual immunity challenges before. It could be because I know there's been Todd. I don't know, but kudos to Ricard. And again, I just can't echo again what I say for anyone of the LGBTQ+ community to see somebody like that killing it on this game with professional athletes, with med students, like, you know, living your truth, be yourself and shine. That I just have to echo that because I just love seeing Ricard.
Big respect to Ricard. He's killing it. He's killing it. He's going to inspire many people to play this game. So he wins. And now this idea of Danny and Deshaun's to get Ricard out has to take a back seat.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and
conditions. 18 plus. We get a Shan confessional back at camp. I want to keep things cool with Deshaun, so we should go for Erica. She tells Deshaun, Ricard, Danny, Liana to put all votes on Erica, not to tell Xander anything, so he has to play his idol. Sounds like a good plan if people were desiring to work with you, Shan.
But I thought it was a good plan.
And don't tell Xander anything. Nobody tell him anything. He'll play his own.
Especially now that you know that Danny and Deshaun don't have the option to go for Ricard, and you feel pretty good that they're not going to go for you. Like, it makes sense. Go for Erica. I think Xander and Shan and her alliance are so smart that I feel like by telling Xander nothing, it almost kind of has the opposite effect.
Right.
Where it's like, okay, if they actually wanted to get me out, they would give me some sort of plan to make me feel okay. If they're not telling me anything, like, you know, then it's they seem not to care about you. I mean, if I'm in Xander's shoes.
No, I disagree.
You disagree?
I think if they're like, we're not going to say anything to him, period. Mm. So now this man on his own has to decide, are we voting for him? Should he play his, like, I almost think not saying anything
in general, I get that, but it's like, if I want to get Xander out and I don't want him to play his idol, I want to give him a plan so that he doesn't play his idol, so that he feels okay. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Like, if, I mean, obviously being told nothing, you're going to get worried and there's a good chance you play the idol. But for me, if I wanted to blindside someone who has an idol, then I would be like, all right, like, I would try to convince them really, really genuinely, be like, all right, this is the plan. Like, you're good to go. Like, let's make this move. But
I also wonder about, like, Xander's know-with-all. Did I use that word right?
Wherewithal?
You should have let him say it again, Jack.
Is that what you're saying, though?
Yes.
What was the word?
Know-with-all? Right? Yeah, but know-with-all. Doesn't that make sense, though?
Well, I don't know what know-with-all means. What are you trying to say?
Right. Given, I'm going to just use it. Given Xander's know-with-all, like...
we can't understand the question.
Okay, well, let me finish it.
In context. Given Xander's know-with-all.
Given Xander's know-with-all of the game and how strategic he is...
Knowledge. He's know-with-all.
Sorry. This isn't Survivor Know It Alls with Steven Fishback.
This is the Survivor Know Nothing.
This is the Survivor Know Of All. Okay. But no, what I'm saying is that, like, we've seen Xander and he's pretty, like, he knows what's going on. And so I feel like he probably knows that it probably was between Ricard or Shan. Like, I don't know. I feel like there was at no point, I feel like Xander has been getting the same edit every week where it's like, he going to be the GOAT or he going to be the target, and it's not really him. And we've seen time and time again that Zaddy has not budged on playing his idol. So for me, he got to drop somewhere. Also, another thing that I just wanted to bring up real quick was that when Shan went to Ricard to tell him that they're voting you out, and Ricard's a response for me was a lot. Like, I'm just taking it in. I'm surprised that you would tell me. If I were Shan in that moment, I would be like, what's plan B? Like, at that point in time, like, I would have reverted to Ricard is, like, against me and I need to do what I need to do. And for me, I almost would have felt like I need to play my idol tonight. Would you agree? Like, or do you, or you, do, you don't think
but they told him that before the challenge before the where challenge. He had that plan to even take her out.
But yeah. And for me, I just, even as we were watching it, and I even said this to Wendell, I was like, oh my God, Ricard wins. He's going to use that information against Shan. It just was like, yeah, he not with you, sis.
Yeah, and I think in this episode, like you said earlier, something about Shan putting her guard down. I think Shan's a genuine person, and I think in this episode, we saw a lot of moments of her with tears in her eyes, giving information and to who she believed were people very close with her in the game.
Yeah.
And at this moment, she is teary-eyed telling Ricard, hey, they're voting for you, but this is a plan. It's going to be me, Liana, Xander, we're going to vote out Deshaun, or however she decided to pivot it. She was genuinely coming to her right hand, and the way he processed it, like you said.
And again, for me... Go ahead, Jay, because I'll shut up.
I did think his the way he processed it was weird. And if I was in Shan's shoes, I don't know how I'd react. But part of what it gave me was he was like, I'm surprised you told me. And I'm honestly so thrilled that you told me. And it's like making me emotional. So I need to process this for a second.
I didn't get that.
He said, I'm surprised you would tell me.
Yeah.
He knew they were so close.
No, he knew that Ricard
wasn't
game,
the best way to process.
No. I just feel like in Ricard's game, like he has said before in us, we're not taking each other to the end. So honestly, his reaction is like, I'm surprised that you would give me this tea, sis, because ultimately I'm going to end your game with this. It's kind of how I got, that's how I read. And again, if I'm Shan and I'm that so emotional and I'm being vulnerable to you and I'm coming to protect you and you give me that maybe it's my lived experience, but I would be I can't trust you. And I just.
It's all about how you perceive the way he reacts, right. I guess, which was shaky.
Right.
I think some people might perceive it oh, we're good. Some people might perceive it you wouldn't be damn, this is suspicious.
Right.
So if you were saying, Bryce?
No, I was just saying, but okay. Again, I'm just saying if you're emotional and you feel like you are, I don't know, maybe you wouldn't see it, but I just, I wish that spicy Brycey could have transferred into her because
So the way what I gathered was I almost appreciated how it's like you could see his mind working. She's telling him this. There was a point he almost had a nervous smile or something when he's like, no, I'm just processing it. And he also said, who's all gunning against me? So he's collecting this information.
That's kind of how I took it.
He's like, all right, I'm gathering this. I'm getting the facts. I'm about to figure something out. But they in my head, all right, cool. Now I got to go. I'm not going to react some kind of way right now. I'm going to take this information and get on my job. And we've seen people take information and go crazy before and do other things. Mm-hmm. And his way, and we've seen it this whole, he's a calculating dude.
Right.
And so I guess he took it as they are very close with her, close enough to share information with her that she's going to get me out. That means I'm disposable to her.
I don't agree with that. If you're disposable to me, then I'm not bringing you this tea.
Okay, maybe not. I'm disposable.
I think you just had a lot of thoughts. I think that is part of what he's thinking. But I think part of what he's thinking is, if I don't win this challenge, what's my plan? And it's going to involve Shan being on my side because if he doesn't win the challenge, then he's going to work with Shan.
But for me, that's somebody that's loyal, and I feel like that I have experienced people not be loyal to me before a lot. I go to maybe a not so negative place, and I'm just like, but she's giving you the drop, sis. She's I'm telling you this.
I think Shan was being 100% genuine with that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I just say that to say that it's game versus loyalty. And again, in this moment, Ricard chose the game, and I ain't mad.
But not in this. I don't think in this moment he got that moment.
And
because this was still before the challenge.
So let me ask you this. If Dom came to you and said, and I don't know who would be Dom, but like if Dom, if I guess, I don't know. But
if Dom came to you and said like Angela is targeting, or I don't know if you were cool with Angela, but she was like in your alliance, right? This is what I'm saying. Why he had to process so much is that he was maybe weighing that. Like, I think that's what I'm saying. He wins the challenge. Then he has, I think winning challenges less, like, I think immunity is great, but I think the bigger benefit of immunity is the fact that you could kind of do whatever you want. So Ricard wins the challenge. Now he can actually kind of realize the potential of taking out Shan without being worried about himself. Whereas if he doesn't win the challenge, Shan's given him this information that people's targeting. I think his assessment then is like, oh, Shan's still loyal to me. I could go with her. We could formulate a plan to take out a Deshaun or something and keep myself safe. So I think he's just kind of digesting all the information that he's getting at this time. And I don't think he's turned on Shan at this point, though.
Okay. Regardless, we weren't there. And there are many interpretations of how Ricard could have received this information. But we know that after this conversation, he goes and wins that immunity. Shout out to baby boy. Shan comes back with her plan on how to pivot this onto Deshaun. But no, people are ready to take aim at Shan. When this information gets to Erica, Erica's scared that if Shan pulls an idol, then things might fall on her. So Erica says, let's split the vote on Shan and Liana.
Can we also talk about everyone? Again, us in the beginning were like, why does Danny and Deshaun keep going for Erica? And I think that in the last two episodes, Erica has demonstrated, sis, if I could have had a little bit of Erica on Kagyan, she has like, she works the numbers. She thinks of the opportunities. Like, I just have to give a kudos to my purple hair, sis Erica, because it's like, I see you, sis.
Yeah, she's a strong player. I actually started watching back the season yesterday with my dad. And
shout out, Ben.
Know, knowing what we know now in the season, you can kind of see more and more that, so that foreshadowing or those subtle plays that players are making that set up this long game. And they tried to throw a challenge to get Erica out because I think they recognized that she's quiet, but she's very deadly. She's very smart. I think her getting that split vote lined up is an extremely underrated move this episode because it really benefits everybody but her, right? If you're a Deshaun or a Danny, why in the world would you want Liana to go over Erica if an idol is played? But she's able to convince them that, hey, let's split the vote. Because now Shan plays an idol, Liana goes home. And I don't think that works for Danny or Deshaun more than it does for Erica to go home, especially given the fact that they were targeting her, trying to throw a challenge to get her out a couple days ago or a week ago in the season. So like you said, props to her. She's a really smart player. And I think she's gaining a lot of steam and traction in the season where she could actually have a chance to take it home, especially considering the fact that Heather is her number one. They seem to have kind of a devotion to each other. So if Erica, that's not only a vote in Erica's favor going forward, but it's someone she could beat in the end.
And I feel like Heather, Erica, and Xander have kind of sort of been at the, like, you know what I mean? That's a threesome that we haven't really, like,
explored.
It's kind of, it's the underdogs that are kind of just stuck together out of necessity.
I mean, it's a threesome. I'd like
to... You like Heather like that?
I was talking about Zeddy Zan, but
I got a question for you guys. Amidst this planning to get Shan out, we have Danny, we have Deshaun. They are feeling some type of way that Shan broke their trust. That Shan was some
kind of... Yeah, I thought that was weird.
Was some kind of snitch, right? So riddle me this. If you are plotting to get her right hand out and keeping her out of this boat and keeping her out of this plan, and she gets wind of that
from Liana.
Who's the shade? Are y'all were shady at first, right? Did y'all start this shadiness?
I thought it was super weird, but I think it was kind of Deshaun and maybe a little bit of Danny just giving themselves an excuse to make the move.
Yeah.
I don't especially because Liana's the one who betrayed your trust because she told her the plan. Now, maybe that is why they were down to split the vote on Liana, because they felt betrayed. But yeah, Shan heard news from someone else that someone else was plotting against her closest ally. She tells her closest ally, and now she's in the wrong. Doesn't make any sense to me. But I do, like I said, I think it's just them kind of justifying making a big move. Whether it's right or wrong, it's kind of needed to happen in their minds, I feel like.
I'm going to just be quiet.
Yeah, they said, one of them said, she snitched on me, so she broke the code. Mm-hmm. I'm like, she ain't snitch on y'all. She got right. word of it.
And y'all was breaking the code because, like, y'all wanted to break her down. So, like, again, but I understand both sides. I get it. And listen, if you come for me, I'm going to come for you. But I also just feel like, I don't know.
And sometimes you just literally, you need to justify it some way in your head. All right, she snitched on us, whatever. Whatever the case may be, they were targeting her. And this is when I want to circle back a little bit more to kind of show Danny some love, show Danny some respect, because he does, a lot of times he stays really composed and he has that composed voice at all times.
Oh, mm-hmm.
And
what's a composed voice?
Hold on, let me sit up for this one.
I was talking to Jack.
Yeah, Jack, let's hear it.
Hello, I'm Danny. I believe that Shan gave away some information that was meant to be kept between us, and therefore we are allowed to talk.
I'm sorry. Yeah, we had Showtime at the Apollo. Wendell. Where? Tee him up. All right, Wendell, give us a...
he's out. Jack is out of here. Jack has left the building.
I'll never leave.
I say that to say that when they are bringing in Erica and I think in Heather, or when they're saying it to Erica, Erica is saying to them, like, to Danny, would you do that? And this is when what we talked about earlier, he said, she pissed me off today. Mm-hmm. And she says,
Erica was like, what's the tea? Break it down.
He says, I don't want to blow up the game, but I would vote for her. Just like that.
Yeah, smart.
And for me, that's like the know-it-all. When to blow up the game and when not to blow up the game. And I'm like, you know, and honestly, and you look at it, for him to blow up the game right now, he could possibly lose this position. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that was a very, like, I would have never thought of it. Like, you know, like.
He could have given her a lot of ammo on dirt on what's going on. He didn't blow it up. Mm-hmm. He said, I'm willing to go with you.
And I think if I'm in Erica's shoes, that almost comes across as more honest, right? Because if he gives you this information about her, that's something that could come back. That's something that could circulate. If he's serious about this move, it is smart for him to be like, all right, I'm not going to give you that. I'm not going to blow shit up because that could go bad for me. That could go bad for you. But I'm with you. I want to vote her out because I am mad at her. I'm not going to tell you why, because it's like personal business. So, yeah, like Bryce said at the start, like you said, like, I think that was kind of a unique way to go about it, but worked really well.
And then we get a confessional from Danny. Oh, Erica showing how smart she is. Oh. She needs to go.
Oh.
Was that a good one?
That, listen, no, I mean, I don't know, but
basically he's saying he can vote Erica. He can vote Shan, but Erica is showing that brain. She needs to go because she just broke. She decided on that split. And yeah, we all recognize and we're seeing how smart Erica is. Might be some foreshadowing.
Huh?
For some, I don't have the know-it-all. So we get to tribal. And Probes asks some questions about people on the bottom, what they can do, what their vote can mean.
Can I interject real quick? I was just thinking about something. So originally, right, the plan was to put 6 votes on Shan. No, it would have been to put 6 votes on Shan and Shan and Liana would have voted Erica, right? Was that the original plan before the split? Obviously, Erica's plan worked out well where she splits it on the Liana. But theoretically, couldn't Xander, Heather, and Erica just do the split themselves without trying to make that move? I don't know if that's a risk, because I think Erica did take on some risk by saying, hey, Danny, hey, Deshaun, would you guys vote for Liana? Like, I think there's a risk in that because maybe they don't want to. If you don't want to have to worry about them voting for Liana, you could just say, like, to go to your allies, Heather, hey, Xander, like, let's just split it ourselves. Or is that I don't know. I feel like that's a possibility.
That sounds
good. Right?
Yeah, that sounds like it could have been doable. I question, what was the order? How did numbers fall for Shan at first as far as them thinking, all right, I'm going
to
bring you.
You'd have to make sure that the other ones were all voting for her in the first place. But
yeah.
Because obviously, so you don't get Danny and Danny votes for you and Ricard and Deshaun vote for Shan. Well, now you just threw off the whole thing because it's going to be a tie between Erica and Shan. Or I guess it would be Erica and Liana in that case. And then Erica's going to go home in the re-vote. So I guess there's a risk either way. And Erica pulled it off the way she did it. So like not to critique it. I was just curious, like, you know, is that possible? Is that something that could be smart? But going
possible,
to tribal.
Possible. But in this scenario, I think they wanted to make sure they knew where each vote was going. So they kind of, you know, triangulated or figured everything out with each other. And instead of just taking your three and going rogue, I think it works out better down the line.
Yeah. And obviously, hindsight 2020, good move by Erica, how she did do it. But yeah, going to tribal.
Yeah. So we get tribal. Tribal props, just talk to me about tribal. Like,
it's so for me, tribal was very telling. I feel like Deshaun was basically like trying to sort of keep it cute, but alluding to the fact that like the tides might have turned a little bit. And for me, as much as I love Danny, I feel like he was a tad bit sloppy in the sense of like when he chimed in and was like, and the people that think the people with the people and everybody might not be with the people. And I was like, wait, sir, what? Like, and
he offered that information up, right? And he didn't need to.
And so, again, was that maybe a Hail Mary to Shan? If it ever was a Hail Mary to Shan, to be like, if you think you comfortable, sis? Because, again, ultimately, they were trying to vote out Shan. And if they did not vote out Shan, they wanted to flush the idol out as well to, like, set it up. But, again, I wish Spicy Brycey could have lived in the future, could have been a time traveler to be like that fly that hit Tiffany when Heather was like, send me an idol. And the fly, I wish that was me reincarnated, because I would have flew up Shan's nose and be like, play idol.
That's in the future, Bryce?
Future, past tense, you know, that would have been like, you know, in the past. But like, again, I guess it really shows like Shan's trust in Ricard and felt like she was comfortable, because me listening to that, like, I would have been like, oh no, baby boy. I'm just, and again, also, Jack, I don't know if you know this, but you know, I make merch, but
really,
anytime I get an idol, I'm playing it the next day. Like, for me, because like, I just want to get to the next day.
Granted, in South Africa, you had an idol and you held on to it.
So. Yeah, but then you betrayed me, and then you tried to hold that
and then
thing.
You still played it. You still played it right. So I mean, you did a good job with the idol.
I mean, I did eliminate my closest ally because I knew that he wouldn't take me to the end.
Well, no, you accidentally eliminated me.
No, I didn't accidentally nothing. I was protecting Ramon. It's like, no, but no. I just wish that Shan would have played that idol. Like,
and in this, yeah. And
we
we also had Ricard at one point saying something about. He said something in the tribal, alluding to like alliances working for moments or something.
Oh yeah, that's right. He was very clear to the Ricard, like, I ain't take you to the end. And
I
do think say Shan did play her idol and Liana goes home. I think the fallout of that is even with a Shan with no idol and who's now aware that everybody turned on her. I think the fallout of that would have been amazing to watch.
No, that would have made for very good play. However, in this equation of game over loyalty, does it equal $1 million? I do feel like, as much as I love Ricard and I think that he is amazing to see, I feel like in this equation, he chose game. And ultimately, like, I don't know if the equation for him is going to equal $1 million. In the sense that, like, first of all, Danny and Deshaun, you were already on their radar. Shan tipped you off. And not, he was supposed to be the vote. I just, in my opinion, I feel like you're still a target, and this move proves it even more. So I don't, as much as I want to see Ricard get to the end, I don't know if I see him get to the end at this point.
But with the way the game stood, and I think, especially if you're considering it from Ricard's perspective, I think he knows that in that group of five, that honestly, I think he's aware that there is some sort of camp out. So I think if he goes with the status quo and votes out in Erica, then I think he makes it to final five. And then I think he goes home a lot of the time. Because if the alliances continue the way that they were looking, and all of a sudden Erica goes home, the camp out has four out of the seven players remaining. Now it's going to be very hard for them to turn on each other before the end of the game. Maybe it does happen, but
what I'm just saying is that Shan in this episode demonstrated that she was willing to stretch over the camp out to protect you. So I feel like I just felt like you could have gotten it. Maybe I'm wrong. We'll have to see in the next 3 weeks, but I feel like you could have gotten, I feel like you're going to get further with loyalty than gameplay, in the sense that I feel like Danny, Deshaun, and even Erica, they know how lethal you are. You're a challenge beast. Like, you would have, if you don't win immunity, I feel like if I'm Heather, because that's more than likely who I would be out there, I'm going to want to take you out.
I think the dilemma is, like, if you see someone standing in your way, you're kind of naturally inclined to take them out, and that might make it harder to play through the rest of the game, and it might make you have to take matters into your own hands and become a target. But I feel like, at least in my mindset, I'd rather take out someone out with a big move and have to play hard the rest of the game to try to win, even if it like might damage my shot. Because I think say Ricard doesn't make this move and doesn't have a chance to take out Shan again, I think he's going to regret that for a long time.
His biggest regret.
So okay. He'd rather take the move and try to play and see what happens. But I don't know. I don't think there's a right, like, I don't know. Say Erica goes home. I don't like distinctly know whether I think Ricard has a better chance to win if Erica goes home or if Shan goes home. But I think he's busting the game open, and we'll see what happens. Oh. He's definitely smart enough to hopefully navigate. So
not busting it wide open.
Oh,
wide open.
But yeah, I get it. I mean, and that's the one thing that I love about the Purple Pants Podcast Survivor News is that I might be passionate in my mind about something, but hearing you guys articulate your side, it makes me feel like a better Survivor player. Like, where were you guys at Kageon?
So Nothing. But that was such an emotional moment for you, Bryce. And I just wanted to steal that away from you and say that on Ghost Island, we had scenarios where Dom and I could have went for each other. It would have really exposed the player that stayed in the game. If Dom would have went for me, it would have been, his path to the end would have been very hard. Likewise, yeah. If I would have went for him, my path would have been very hard. Similarly, if Laurel would have went for one of us, then her path would have been very hard, because we had another alliance. We were doing that Navidi Strong stuff on the side while targeting our targets. So we had this alliance with Laurel. We had our Navidi alliance that we wanted to take out at some point. But Dom, Laurel, and myself knew that if we implode, if we go for each other, that path to the end
becomes harder.
Hard, if not impossible.
That's what I'm saying, though.
Well, I was going to say, but if you're Dom or Laurel, part of you is always going to wonder what happens if I do go for Wendell. And not to say that they would have even placed better or not, but you still have that sense of regret, possibly. I can't speak for them, but I feel like that's present.
You're absolutely right. But the dilemma is, do you snipe somebody right now and make your path a lot harder, which means sitting at the end might be a little easier, or do you make your path to the end a lot easier, but sitting at the end is a lot harder?
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah. I'm making my path to the end easier. Okay, listen, get me to the, send me in the final three.
All right.
I would do the opposite.
Right, because you're game. Y'all two are game players. I'm loyalty.
All right.
So if we're moving on, we get the split vote. And this tribal, we see a lot of, we get the split vote. We see on Shan and Liana's faces like, man, they pulled something on us. We get some slow-mos. We get hero music. Yeah. And the viewers and everyone on the island can tell, including Shan, that when they re-vote after tying it on Liana and Shan, everyone knows it's going to be Shan. Mm-hmm. Shan, you see it on her face like, they got me. You see her look at Ricard, reach out and touch him. And she says, it's okay. You see her look back at Liana as they're reading her name. And she says, don't trust anybody.
Mm.
And then we get Shan being voted out. And she stands up, looks at Ricard, says, you have my vote for $1 million. She looks at Deshaun and says, no, she doesn't even look at Deshaun. As she's turning, she says, Deshaun, you're a snake. And she walks away. And I've heard some thoughts about those two statements as she was walking away. It's like, is she putting a huge target on Ricard, or is she just saying, man, like, you got me, but you're going to be the winner. You deserve it. And her saying, Deshaun, you're a snake. Is that like her being bitter, or is that's genuine.
Yeah.
But you know,
it could be like reverse psychology. Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't know. Cause like Shan is that combination of an emotional, but also a strategic player. So I could see her being mad at Ricard. Like, it's hard. I like to think she was being genuine, which I think is bad. Cause if you want Ricard to win, like, you don't want to say, oh, I'm voting for you. But the same thing happened in Edge of Extinction, where Victoria was like, Gavin, you got my vote to win, because she was pissed at Gavin and she didn't want him to win. So it's a weird kind of situation.
As someone that has been voted out before, I can tell you that, like, I feel like those are raw emotions in the time, because when I got voted out, I didn't even remember nobody's name. I just said Morgan do well. So I got the classic. Okay. Tell me who beats that. But no, honestly, like, you're in your feels, like, and as you should be. It's a game. You went out there to play, and Shan was a player, and she was a magnificent player. And the one thing that I always say to people like myself is that, like, I went out, I wanted to play this game, I wanted to be a part of it. And we all know that going out in the game, there is going to be a winner and someone that does not win. And this game, multiple people that do not win. And I think that, like, you know, when we reflect back on it, like, we're just lucky to play a game that millions of people want to play. We're lucky to have this opportunity. And honestly, as a viewer, I feel like we're lucky to have a player like Shan, because I feel like she played a great game. She was, you know, I thought she was going to take it. There haven't been many strong lead Black women that have played this game that not have only played strong, but have carried it, have narrated it, have made us feel a reaction to her. So, like, to that, I tip my hat off to Queen Shan, and I hope that she continues to hold her head up high, because in my opinion, she is a survivor icon.
Yeah, I think Shan deserves her flowers for sure. Like, I was so convinced that Shan was winning this season. So convinced. I was so certain. I was so ready for a second Black woman winner. I was so ready for it. I thought Shan was the perfect representation and would be a perfect winner. And I think because in my head, I was just so ready for this. I think I was just convinced that she was going to win. And So in seeing this episode, it kind of hit me. And we haven't, like you said, we haven't seen or gotten this kind of an edit from a Black woman in a while, as far as she carried. I thought she carried this, like, it's a great cast, but it was like the Shan show for a long time. Mm-hmm. And she's an incredible narrator. They continued to go to her editing wise. And so it hit me when it was going to be her night. And I think I was even live tweeting like, man, is this the night that Shan and Ricard go after each other, or that Ricard stabs her in the back? And so I just want to just give mad love and respect to her game. And the editing style of this episode and how they edited her out of the show, it was like a queen's exit. Mm-hmm. Slow-mo, music. When she went up to Jeff, what did she say? She's like, don't do it, don't do it. He's like, I hate it, or I don't want to do it, or something like that. They gave her her flowers, and I appreciate that in the edit. And I think that she should be proud of her game and hold her head high. And I know they're going to call her back.
Okay.
Yeah.
For sure. And whether you liked Shan, didn't like Shan, she invoked an emotion in you. And I think that, you know, only a strong player and somebody that knows the game can do that.
That's exactly what I was going to say, Bryce. Like, whether you love to root for her or love to root against her, you know, she brought dynamic television that everybody wants. You know, if you have a season full of people playing as hard as Shan, bringing that energy, that emotion, that strategy, like, it's going to be an amazing season of Survivor. So, like I said, I'm sure she's going to come back. I look forward to critiquing her gameplay again, but this is a Shan Stan podcast. So, okay. Shout out to Shan.
Yes. And also, after, because I had to do a rewatch, because, you know, the charcuterie board was popping. As the Survivor fan that I am, and how much I love Survivor, it really just, like, I feel like I'm like, well, what the hell is going to happen now? Like, it really has me that much more locked in to next week's episode. And yeah. To like, when, like, now I'm just like, oh my God. Because I feel like at this point, it's the, you know how they say, you know, what Wendell fart, it'd be like,
no.
But when Jack fart, it don't be nothing. But we'd be like, oh my God, the silent ones be deadly. And I feel like this season,
let's hear this analogy.
This season has a lot of people that we have not seen a lot from. And I feel like they about to bust it wide open.
I got Bryce, when we were in South Africa, what did you used to do when you got nervous?
Don't listen. Don't do that. I have a. I
would toot every time you got nervous. It'd be like every time. Or exactly. You'd be like, ooh, I was nervous. Me and Tribal. Ooh.
Yeah, I was next to him every single Tribal. And it smelled, I'll tell you that.
Don't do that. It smelled like sunshine, sunshine and roses.
He was tooting. Mm-hmm. So I have a couple questions about this episode. Yeah. Going forward and stuff. One question that I have is Ricard too exposed now, as far as a strong player and as far as not having Shan?
I say yes. However, he also has shown himself to be a challenge beast. So if he can continue to win like two more, three more immunities, like, he might be good. Mike Holloway has done. It's been done.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he is exposed, but I don't think he's like too exposed. Like, I don't think it's going to be, you know, a next episode, everyone's like, all right, it's gotta be Ricard. I think he is a target that people will go for, but I think he has a good chance to win. I think I'd slot him in probably number three in my potential winner order. I've got that circulating in my head, but no, I like the move from Ricard. It's exciting to see the games mixed up. Like, part of me still doesn't even believe that Shan went home, because I was so ready for Erica to go. Like, I'm half expecting to see Shan pop up on my screen next week. So since she's gone, I'm excited to see how it all shakes out, because the game is really wide open now.
Yeah. So my next question, I think you're right. My next question is, could he have had a better target? Was this the time for him to go for Shan?
Go ahead, Jack.
If he could have gone into just a Deshaun this episode, I think that is better for your game. But I don't like I said, if you have this opportunity to make a move against someone who has an idol and a lot of control, I don't think it's a bad move. I don't know if it's a good move, but I don't think it's a bad move. I think it's something that if I was in his shoes, I probably would have done the same thing. I think a lot of players would have done the same thing. So it's tough to tell, but he saw the move available that he thought it could benefit his game and he went for it. So nothing wrong with that, in my opinion.
This could be the move that this could be one of those huge moves. If Ricard wins this season,
exactly.
This is like one of those pivotal moments in his
exactly.
game.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So I have another question. Do you do it for the culture or do you do it for your own personal interest? Do you look at the this moment in time, especially take us back a year ago when they filmed right in the smack dab in the Black Lives Matter movement, and you're out on this island with three other black people? Do you say, you know what, I'm going to stick with this group right here for the optics and for what people see? Or do you say, wait a minute, this game is for $1 million. I have a bunch of student loans. I'm doing this for those student loans. And I know we've said that there are ways that you can still represent and still fight for your money. But in this case, it's like you're about to break this foursome in your own self-interest. Do you do it for the culture or do you do it for yourself?
I'm assuming you're asking me that. And that's a hard question for me. And I don't even know if I really want to answer it, Wendell, honestly, because it is, I feel like, the plight of my life. And taking away from Survivor, because I feel like, yeah, it's just a very difficult question for me to answer, in the sense that, like, I want to do it for the culture because, like, you know, I'm very pro-black. I'm very proud of who I am. At the same time, if I take a deep dive into my culture that I support and love, at the same time, I don't always get that same support back. So I would like to think that I probably would bet on myself and choose myself and hope that I, like, can strike out on my own to represent the culture and give it a new life and give it a new... I don't know. But at the same time, I'm extremely loyal and I probably would have been very cognizant of how the optics are and where we are coming from and what it looks like. But I mean, as a podcaster talking about it and having the opportunity to sit back and being an openly gay black man and always being othered in the LGBTQ plus community, as othered in the black community, as othered, like, you know, I don't know if I would really want to it gives me pause.
It's very easy to sit back in our chairs and in the hotel room and say, like, we do it for the culture when we're not on that island and $1 million isn't being dangled in front of us. So, but again, if I were to put myself in Deshaun's shoes, I understand his decision. Shan is in the way of his $1 million. I understand his decision. At the same time, if we think of the cookout, and I didn't watch a lot of Big Brother, but I think that some of them, they all made their alliances with people outside the cookout and they started sniping all those alliances to ensure that the final six are all black so that we can ensure that the winner will be black, period. So I think in their case in Big Brother, they looked for their eyes were like, you know what, we understand that we're going to make it a point to put us before the individual. So on Survivor, Deshaun put himself in front of the us because he recognized that there's a bigger threat in that four. Mm-hmm. And again, I understand it. The man's a med student. I'm still paying off my student loans from law school. You know, like, I won the game a couple of years ago. Like, I understand it, man. I understand it. But again, brings me back to the thought, this could be the reason why there won't be a black winner this season. And I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, like, they had their mission. They decided on it. And now this move might. And there still could be a black winner because they're strong players, right? But this move could have been that thing that kind of destabilized that.
Yeah. I also think that this is, yeah. For the reason why we fought for diversity, to sometimes I feel like, and again, for anybody that is like a person of color or not represented well on TV, this is the fight that we have to go through. It's not just like going out there playing for $1 million and you know what I mean? I feel like this is the internal battle that we have. And it at times can be difficult. It's not just us going out there like, hey, I'm here to play Survivor. Let's have a good time. Like, you know, there are other decisions, other things at hand. And I think that. I just think that.
Yeah. Well, and also the Black community is not a monolith. So you're not going to have everybody chosen for this game. Not every person will think that I have a responsibility to my community to show whatever or to put forth whatever. So I think that we stood on the shoulders of people in front of us, the Giants before us, to make it better. And they made it better for us and we make it better for these players. And I think that there will be a time when people can just go out there and just play their game. And some people will have a sense of community and the things that they need to represent. And some people will just play their game. But now that there are more people going out there, I think we're making those decisions maybe a little easier because there will be more people out there. Like mm-hmm. on my season, I was the one Black man out there. I had Laurel and I had Dez out there. And when Laurel came over from Malolo to Navidi 2.0, we bonded. And there were multiple times kind of off camera when I was like, yo, it is important that we get to the end together. That's it. Like, it is very important for us to get to the end together. I told her that we understood that. That was our assignment. We understood that. But now going forward, it's like, there's going to be plenty, like we're going to see many people come out there and play their game. And I think it was imperative for us to work hard to make it happen so that they can get out there and play their game. And in Deshaun's case, some people are going to look at him some kind of way. And I don't know, there are people in the Black community that feel like they need to reach down and pull people up and make things better for people. And then there are people in the Black community that don't necessarily do that and that are very, that, you know, think about themselves. And I don't know. I think that in a game for $1 million, those decisions are a little, it's just tough. And we shouldn't say Deshaun is something for making that decision to say, you know what, I got to look out for me.
Absolutely.
This is the game. At the end of the game, this is the game. So
yeah. And I think it's very important to distinguish that it is a game. It's Survivor. It's like, you know, I 1,000% respect Deshaun's decision. And I understand it and I get it. And kudos to everyone out there. Like, you know, this is a game. It's a game that we love. And I love to talk about it. And I love to like be able to have these conversations. I'm just like so happy that we're able to cultivate a place that it's not hate. It's not like, you know, it's like we can have these discussions. We can agree. We can disagree. We can see the point of view. But at the end of the day, just know that from this podcast, we uplift every player that has played, whether we agree with you, whether we like, you know, we're coming from a place of love. And I hope that anyone, everyone that listens, I hope that y'all get that.
Yeah. So I just have one last question. So I'm trying to think of like who has like a real, like now that the game is
bust wide open,
as Bryce would say, the game is bust wide open.
Who has
a good shot? Who has the best shot? Who do y'all see? Who has the best path to the end?
I got four contenders in my mind.
Come on.
People I think could win. Three people I don't really think are going to win. Obviously, the only way they would win is if they all ended up in a final. I don't think Liana has a chance to win. I don't think Heather has a chance to win. And unfortunately, I don't think Danny has a chance to win because he's playing a great game, but we're not seeing enough of it for me to feel like he's the winner. And I'm going to make a... I have two people I think are at the top for me. And that's my guy, Deshaun, who I've been rocking with the whole time.
Okay.
And then, honestly, sneaky pick, Erica. I think Erica has been gaining some steam, and I've seen people talk about the editing this season and Edric, all that stuff. I think what is really happening is they're telling the story of the season. They're not telling the story of the winner. So Shan got so much screen time because she was a main factor in the season, not because she was going to win. So Erica's story here could be, you know, she's playing, she's that wolf in sheep's clothing. Now she's finally shedding that sheep's clothing and really playing the game. She could go on a win. I think she's in a good position. Like I said, she has Heather, who they're mutually their number one allies. If she gets to the end with Heather, that's someone you could definitely beat. So I think Erica's a good chance. And then after that, I think Xander and Ricard, you know, Xander's path is very unclear, but he has an idol. He has an extra vote. He's showed a lot of maneuverability. Honestly, I would compare it a little bit to Jay in 33, where you lose a lot of your allies. You're kind of playing like a free agent, but you have an idol that you're ballsily able to hold on to and make it deep into the game. But right now, just I don't know anything, but I would kind of predict that Xander could meet a similar outcome to Jay, where eventually all the other targets are gone. Your idol gets flushed one way or another. Everyone kind of mutually is like, all right, you got to go, you know, final five, final six. And then Ricard, I think, is the sharpest player out there. But like you said, he's a little bit exposed. So it's just going to be a little bit tough for him to get to the end. I don't know exactly who he sits with. So, yeah, that's my four. And I think Deshaun and Erica probably have the best chance. But what do you guys think?
For me, I always go for the underdogs. So I actually, it's going to be
Heather.
No. In no particular order, my three I have are Erica, Danny, or Xander at this point. Because like I said, like I've been saying it all episode, the game is bust wide open. And I think that Xander throughout this game has been on the bottom and has executed and shown that he is aware and knows how to maneuver and knows how to play the game. Danny, I feel like, is calling the shots. He's been respected, and not once this season have I heard anybody call him out for being an ex-pro player. Like, normally that's like the talk of the town, like you know, like that, the fact that and you know, Erica, in the sense of that she's been at the bottom and she's been able to make sense of it all. And I feel like when Ish blows up and the numbers are fractured, she in her head are going to be able to make what is the best move. And she has the numbers at the bottom. So for me, those at this point, that's my winner picks.
Okay. Who would you go of the three?
I mean, I feel like I'm a little biased in the sense of like, I don't know, but I don't know. Yeah, more at this point, honestly, because I feel like Deshaun and Ricard have like they have shown their hand too much. And I feel like it is going to only inevitable make them the bigger targets. So for me, it's like either a Zaddy or a Danny at this point.
Wow. OK, I have Danny in my list, too. I have Deshaun, Danny, Ricard, and Erica.
Is it the top three or the top four?
As my top four.
She's saying whatever.
And I have Xander out. I guess kind of like you said with the Jay thing, I can see him using his idol at some point and getting out at some point. Like Heather, we haven't seen much from her. I don't know how much she's playing. I question Liana's path right now. I think she's going to go back and be very upset and not wanting to work with Deshaun and Danny, but and Deshaun and Danny are together. So then you have Ricard, Erica, Heather, Xander, and Liana. That five, if my math is correct, yeah, that five, many things can be done in that five to either target Deshaun and Danny, or if Deshaun and Danny can pull someone to target Ricard or an Erica, you know, Ricard and Erica are on their hit list. So, but yeah, the winners I see, the people that I see that can win, again, Deshaun, Danny, Ricard, and Erica.
I think if you cut out Danny, that's probably as much as I want Xander to win, I am worried, like you said, not only the Jay situation, I'm also worried about who he gets to the end with. If he runs with the underdogs, like, because he's playing a very smart game, but the problem is he's never really had allies where he's had a lot of agency. So I think in the position he's been in, he's done a phenomenal job, But there's that issue. And then I also think there's like maybe a perspective on maturity that's hurting both Xander and Liana. There's a secret scene from this episode. I don't know if you guys saw it, where they're tussling. They go to Shan to basically like go to their mom and be like Liana needs to cut it out. Xander needs to cut it out. Like they're kind of showing their age. So if Xander gets to the end with a Deshaun or a Danny or a Erica, especially given the kind of revolutionary nature of this season, I don't know if people are going to be inclined to vote for him as much as I want them to. I still think he has a chance, especially if he makes some moves with the idol or with the extra vote. You never know what could happen. But yeah, I do think my top three at this point probably is, I think I'd honestly go, yeah, Erica, Deshaun, and then Ricard. But like you said, Ricard has a tough path right now.
Yeah, I feel like Ricard and Deshaun, although I love them both and I'm rooting for them, I think that they have a hard shot. But what is the best thing about Survivor is that, go ahead, Wendy's.
I know you're trying to rush us off and you got big plans tonight, but I'm thinking, what if Deshaun and Danny are at the end together and you have a Shan politicking against a Deshaun?
Well, I mean, I think that's also a real thing, is that people spoil the jury. And if you have a bit of Betty or a Biddy Bryce in the jury, that's another reason why I say Xander, because like, who has Xander wronged?
Liana.
I mean, right. But she might still be in the game.
Or not even spoil the jury. They sway the jury.
Well, that's what I mean.
Do you think when it boils down to it, do you think Shan would be against Deshaun and Danny?
I mean,
or do you think she's like, hey, great move. You made it to the end. Respect. You did what we set out to do. Albeit you had to cut me, but like props. I don't know.
I think that Shan is a player enough that I think that time at Ponderosa, I think that like she would see the good of the cost. So yeah, I mean,
and more people will come and tell their stories to Shan. So yeah, she might, and I could be, you know, off with her saying she's just going to be so mad at Deshaun or Dan or whatever. But I can also understand that the jury is going to probably recognize the magnitude of the moment and maybe not give Xander the $1 million amongst this cast. So, yeah.
And it's a weird jury. Like the cast obviously is so different from what we've seen given diversity, that it was also a lot of age diversity on this jury. I mean, you have Tiffany, Evie, Nasir, Shan right now. That's a weird group to kind of appeal to. It's not kind of the average group. So it's going to be interesting to see kind of what they value as a jury.
Yeah.
Right. And like I was saying before, it is such an amazing time to be a Survivor fan, because it's literally bust wide open, yin yang twist, to the floor, to the window, to the wall, to the sweat, drop down my... So
I'll be quiet. My dad's asleep.
Oh, sorry, Ben. Okay. But it really is an exciting time. And I am so lucky to be a fan of the show with excess. I feel like I have Survivor Plus, and I literally cannot wait to see next week's episode. And I hope that you guys tune in with us to recap next week. Also, y'all know
them about it. Tell them about it.
It's giving the Bryson Win presents the and finale. Jack. Okay.
Jack, you gonna come?
Is this I'll confirmed? Can we come? Can we do a Purple Pants podcast Survivor News exclusive, Jack Atkins?
This is confirmed. I know a lot more people gonna buy tickets this time because they know your boys. Nah, I'm playing. I'll be at the, we'll tell them about it and just know that
the guys, Bryson Win presents the finale. Okay, we are headed over to Hoboken. Did I say it right, Wendell?
Yeah, we're going to Hoboken. Okay. December 15th, 6 to midnight. Purr. We're going to watch the whole finale. Purr. We have some incredible confirmed guests coming. Ooh. And it's go time.
Don't look at the comments on our Instagram to see who said they was coming. I'm just saying, don't have no FOMO. Make sure you click the link in our bios and get the tickets now. We can't wait to watch this historic finale with you. But until then, guys, thank you so much, Jack. Thank you so much, Wendell, for coming in. It's the Survivor News. It's a whole thing. I see the comments on the YouTube. The favorite baby boys. But until next time, guys, it's giving game versus loyalty. and we out.
Peace.
Not the peace.
Whew, y'all, that episode was a lot. I am so happy I had my baby boys, Jack Atkins and Wendell Holland, here with me on the Survivor News, which is an exclusive to the Purple Pants podcast. If you got a YouTube, make sure you head over to YouTube, type in Bryce Isaiah, hit subscribe, give this video a thumbs up. Also, I just want to remind y'all, because you know they're going like hotcakes, Bryce and Wynn presents the finale. We are headed over to Hoboken to watch the finale together. So listen, click the link in my bio or Wendell's bio and get your tickets, and we will see you there. Whew, it's a lot, okay? I'm still at Barb House. I'm still wetting the whistle. And I just thank you guys so much for your support and listening. But if you have not already, please make sure you subscribe to the Purple Pants Podcast. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, wherever it is that you get your podcasts from. Hit that subscribe button. Give your baby boy some 5 stars. Write a review and tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend. It's gang versus loyalty. Cause it's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better listen in public, might make your stomach hurt. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to unwind, you better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to get your snack, you better hurry right back though. It's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.